This evening, we're going to pick up where we left off last time. Here on Wednesday nights, we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and we're now in Proverbs chapter 14. Lord willing, we'll cover both chapters 14 and 15 tonight. The section of the scripture here in Proverbs is about a lot of short sayings, short statements drawn from long experiences. Now, the first nine chapters of Proverbs are actually a series of 15 short sermons. But then beginning with chapter 10 up to about chapter 30, there are a bunch of short sayings that Solomon gives, which, though it's hard to see in English, but yet if we could read Hebrew, we would see that there are many Hebrew poetic forms used in Proverbs. One of them is contrasts, like this is bad, but this is good. And so quite often we will see contrasts and comparisons, which are part and parcel of Jewish poetry. This is part three, which means we've covered two parts of this Wise Words to Live By in the previous two Bible studies, and now we come to the third installment. Verse 1 reads, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." Now, I'm sure that it's true if we reverse the gender roles as well. The wise man builds his house, but the foolish one pulls it down with his hands. Is he talking about a physical building, a home structure? No, he's talking about the household, the people. The spouse, the wise spouse, is one who builds up his or her spouse, builds up his or her children. The foolish one, though, is those who nag and nitpick and find faults. They're fools, the Bible says. The foolish one, the foolish woman, or the foolish man finds fault, and why didn't you do this right, and how come you never do this and never do that, and you always do this, and you're tearing down your house with your hands. That's a foolish thing. The problem is if you tore down a literal house while you're in it, it's going to crush you. And so are you a builder or are you a breaker? Do you build up or do you tear down? Verse 2, "He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord." If you fear God, you're going to walk uprightly. "But he who is perverse in his way despises him." The perverse despise God. The main reason why many people will not believe in Jesus is not because they have some intellectual problem with the Bible or with the claims of Scripture. They're not honest seekers. The problem that most people have why they won't give their life to Jesus is because of the control issue. They don't want God running their lives because there's some sinfulness in their life, something that they're holding on to, a lifestyle that they know that if they truly believed in God, then they would have to admit that the Bible speaks contrary to their life, and so they don't want God running their lives. And so when we come along and we say, hey, you need to repent and you need to believe in Jesus, they become very, very angry, for they despise God who desires to control their lives. Just like a young teenager who, for whatever reason, Satan lies to them and they believe the lies that the parents are out to get them. And so they rebel against their parents thinking, oh, I'm going to be free and I'm tired of my parents telling me what to do. Well, that's just foolish, because the only people on the planet who really want the child's well-being are the parents. And so they're despising the one who can actually bless them and do good for them. And sadly, there are people in the world who despise God because they know deep down they gave their life to Jesus. He would tell them they need to change their minds and change their lives, and they don't want to. But we who fear the Lord do walk uprightly because we don't want to make God angry and we want to bless him. Verse 3, "In the mouth of fools is a In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. A fool will beat people with their harsh words, but eventually will be beaten in return. But the lips of the wise preserve them. Now, where there are no oxen, the trough, the feeding trough, is clean. So yeah, if you want to have a clean trough, don't have any oxen. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Now, is he only thinking about raising cattle, or is there more to it? I think there's more to it. For example, a married couple can have a very clean, tidy home if they choose not to have children. But children are such a blessing that the messes they make are sure worth it. Much increase, well, okay, generally speaking, yeah. We better move on. Verse 5. This is not open for debate. Verse 5, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Liars cannot be trusted. A scoffer seeks wisdom, but does not find it. Why? Because they're scoffing along the way. They're critical, they're harsh, they're arrogant, and they have this attitude like, I'm going to get wisdom. And so somebody tells them, they're like, yeah, right. So they never find wisdom. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. He or she who says, you know what, there's much I need to learn. Therefore, you can gain knowledge that way. Now, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Don't hang out with fools, very simply. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Prudent people, those who are careful and cautious and clever about running their lives, are wise because they consider what today's choice will bring tomorrow. They consider consequences, therefore they're wise, therefore they walk prudently. But, verse 8, the folly of fools is deceit. So the fool is all about folly, thrill-seeking. If it feels good, do it. I'll try that. I'll do that. And so without thinking of the consequences. And they're deceived into thinking that they can get away with their folly. But it's going to come back to bite them in the long run. Fools mock at sin. But among the upright, there is favor. The fool says, oh, I can handle this. I ain't going to get hurt. I ain't scared. That's the fool. The heart knows its own bitterness, and the stranger does not share its joy. Only I know how I feel. Only you know how you feel. So when someone says, oh, I know how you feel, I know you're trying to help, but no, you don't. You don't know how I feel. I don't know how you feel. But what I can do is say, you know, I really don't know what you're going through, but I certainly know that God does, so let me pray for you. I'll tell you something. It is such a great comfort when someone comes along and they say, John, let me just pray for you. And they pray for me right there and then. It's so, instead of just saying, hey, I'll pray for you, and then you go your way and you forget about it and maybe not pray for them. What a wonderful blessing it is to just pray for that person right there, right then. So the heart knows its own bitterness. Now, the stranger does not share its joy. Now, have you ever been joyful about something, excited about something? You've learned something, you've received something, and you go to share it with somebody thinking they're going to have the same amount of joy, and they don't. You ever had that experience? I have. Wow, this was so cool, and isn't it neat? And the guy looks, yeah, okay. Well, instead of being hurt, instead of being offended, we should just realize, hey, that's just the way it is. Be glad for yourself, but maybe don't expect others to feel just as glad for you as you do. That's just the way of life. Heart knows its own bitterness. Stranger does not share its joy. Verse 11, the heart of the wicked will be overthrown. The house, you're right. The house I just need to read those words, right? The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. The house is supposed to last longer than the tent. But if the house is occupied by the wicked and the tent is occupied by the righteous, the tent of the righteous will endure, whereas the house of the wicked will come to ruin. Verse 12, this is something we should all know and memorize. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, Jesus very clearly claimed that he was the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He's the only way. All other ways lead to death, even if those other ways seem right to a person. Just because something feels right, seems right, doesn't mean that it is right. And the end thereof is the way of death. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. You know, people who might tend to yuck it up all the time might be hiding some inner sorrow, kind of the, you know, tragic comedy sort of a thing. Verse 14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. If we allow our hearts to go after that which is contrary to God, then eventually we're going to be filled with those things, those bad things. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Again, reminding us in the book of Galatians, the biblical law of sowing and reaping. Now, the simple believes every word. What? There is a virus on my computer? Sure, I'll give you my passwords. Oh, you need my credit card information? Here you go. The simple believe every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. Solomon's telling his sons and you and me, hey, be smart. Don't get taken. If something smells a little fishy, go talk to some trusted friends. Maybe they could give you a little advice. Verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. The fool says, no one's going to tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. It's true. Now, the simple inherit folly. To be very blunt, dumb people end up doing dumb things. But the prudent, the careful, the cautious, the clever in how they live their lives, the prudent are crowned with knowledge. They become prudent because they acquire knowledge. Knowledge of how will this choice lead to a conclusion. The evil, verse 19, will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Even though it may seem that the wicked have the upper hand today, they won't for much longer. For soon, Jesus is coming back, and he will right every wrong. No, make no mistake about it. Jesus is coming soon and will right every wrong, and then the wicked will bow before the good at the gates of the righteous. Verse 20, the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor. Now, that speaks ill of the neighbor, because I shouldn't hate my neighbor just because he's poorer than me. But Solomon's saying, I've seen this happen. It's horrible, but this is just how it is out there in the world. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Oh, yeah, as long as they still have riches. Fair-weather friends, but those riches, when they're gone, so will be their friends. Verse 21, he who despises his neighbor, so let's say somebody's neighbor's poor, and I hate that guy. Look at how horrible his lawn is. He doesn't take care of his stuff. His paint's peeling on his house. Man, this is a blight in the neighborhood. Our property values are going down because of that guy. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Why doesn't your neighbor take care of his yard? Maybe he can't. Maybe maybe the next time you're mowing the lawn, you might want to go across to your neighbor, mow his yard. That's what the merciful do. That's what the godly do. Try to help out others in need. Verse 22, do they not go astray who devise evil? Yes, they do. But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. How cool. God promises to give us his mercy and his goodness if we are trying to do that which is good. You know, I really believe God gives us an A for effort. How many of you, and myself included, we've wanted to do good, we try to do good, but it just doesn't work out? You know, God is going to give us an A for effort. He's going to bless us. And when we get to heaven, we are going to be amazed at how many wonderful spiritual heavenly rewards we have for things that just didn't work out on this side. Huge rewards. Now, today, you and I, well, I'm frustrated. I wish we'd see some fruit from this and all my efforts for nothing. Oh, no, 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 no. All of your efforts will be for something. It just may not be here. But do you and I, do we really trust God enough to be content and even happy? Hey, it didn't work out here. Cool. I know that it will work out there because mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. Now, in all labor, there is profit. I worked really hard, but it didn't work out. Yeah, but you broke a sweat. And that's good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The diligent person works and there's a blessing in it, but the lazy person only talks about work. And talking without working will truly lead to poverty. Verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. So the wise will earn a good living, but fools will do dumb things. A true witness delivers souls. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news, who bring glad tidings. That verse, and I don't know if this is exactly what the Lord means, but when I consider, you know, my hands and what my being, my physical being, one of the uglier things about me is my feet. I don't think feet are supposed to be super attractive. Now, I know you ladies do a really good job at making sure the toenails are painted. You're trying to beautify that which typically isn't the most beautiful thing. You know, I seriously doubt any man was ever attracted to a woman because of her feet. Wow, baby, you got it going on. Look at them feet. No one's ever done that. But how beautiful, God says, are the feet of those who go out and they preach the gospel and they bring good news. A true witness will travel far and wide to deliver souls because we know that people are going to hell. People are going to hell all around us. And God has positioned us in their lives in order to do something about it. So a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. If I witness to somebody, you know, okay, I'm going to tell them about the Lord. But then we part from each other and they still feel okay about remaining in their unbelief, then I don't think I've witnessed properly. Maybe you've even spoken lies like, well, it's okay, God loves you, and it's all going to work out in the end. But if that person does not come to faith in Jesus, I mean, ultimately that's on them. But if I don't tell them that they have to repent and believe in Jesus or else, then that's on me. That's on me. I need to be faithful to tell them, to be a true witness of Jesus Christ, telling others to repent of their sins and believe in him, or else they're going to suffer his wrath. They will. And we care too much about them to let them go off into eternal destruction. So the faithful witness is the one who delivers souls. The deceitful witness speaks lies. Verse 26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. You want to bless your family? Fear the Lord. Want to bless your kids? You fear God. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. If we're fearing God, then we're going to stay out of those places that promote sin, the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's honor. The great kings of the past had big kingdoms. But in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. You know, there are many examples in the Bible of kings and princes and all that have had a great downfall. One of them that comes to mind is a guy named Rehoboam. His father's name was Solomon. Solomon's father's name was David. When Rehoboam, the grandson of David, the son of Solomon, came into power, I'm going to make a very long story short, he spoke roughly to the people. He did not try to say good, encouraging things. He laid the law down, dropped the hammer, and here's how it's going to be. Well, as a result of that, 10 tribes split from Rehoboam's reign, and they inaugurated a new guy to be their king, a guy named Jeroboam, leaving Rehoboam the king of Judah. Truly a time of downfall for Rehoboam due to his own foolishness. And the lack of people is the downfall of a prince because he was a fool, speaking roughly when he should have been speaking words of encouragement. Verse 29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding. I'm going to go give him a piece of my mind. Oh, be careful there. Be careful. But he was impulsive, flies off the handle. They exalt folly. You know what? That kind of sums it up for that guy Rehoboam, by the way, and for every other person with a quick temper. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Envy does nobody any good, especially the envious person. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. God takes it personally. But he who honors him, the poor, has mercy on the needy. Whoever honors God will show it by being merciful to the needy. Jesus said how we treat the poor and needy is actually how we treat him. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, inasmuch, assuredly, as I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty, you gave me drink, a stranger you brought me in, I was in prison, you visited me, I was naked and you clothed me. And the people will say, Lord, when did we see you do that? When did we see you poor and lonely and naked and in prison? And Jesus says, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So he who honors the Lord will show that they honor God by having mercy on the needy. Verse 32, the wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. In other words, fools reveal everything. But the wise are selective in what they reveal. This is a great verse to remember the next time you go to purchase a car or something. Don't reveal everything. Be smart. Verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So the cure for our culture is not political. It's spiritual. Absolutely spiritual. If we want to see the United States of America become a godly nation, then we've got to go out and win souls. Not necessarily elections. Because it's righteousness that exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Verse 35, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. In other words, don't make the king mad. Don't make him mad. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. You trust in Jesus, so you are blessed. But again, don't make the king mad. Proverbs chapter 15, more wise sayings to live by. Verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have you noticed this? I grew up in a family of yellers. Grew up in a family that when someone got mad, they yelled. That harsh word would just stir up strife. It took me a while. And it's still, you know, I got to be careful. I got to watch myself. But, you know, married to Amanda, she is the one who truly does have a soft answer. And it just is so much nicer to live in a home like that as opposed to a home where people are yelling at one another. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Now, this verse kind of haunts me in this. As a pastor, I'm supposed to talk a lot when I teach. But when I'm talking with people, I keep this verse in the back of my mind and I try to do a mental word count, trying to say fewer words than what the other person that I'm talking to would say, because I don't want to be the fool who just pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient. He knows everything, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. He keeps watch on the evil and the good. He sees it all. Aren't you shocked that the Lord Jesus hasn't come back to judge this world? I mean, you and I, we see evil in the world, but it's just a small fraction of everything that God sees. Man, is he patient. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it, a perverse tongue, breaks the spirit. When somebody takes the Lord's name in vain, doesn't it just bother you? When somebody's a potty mouth, it just grieves us. A fool despises his father's correction. It's what every father needs to put on their teenager's door at home. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Ill-gotten gain will not be blessed in the end. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. They're just dispersing foolishness. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You remember in the Old Testament how the first king of Israel, a man named Saul, Samuel the prophet told Saul, you go out and you slay all the Amalekites, don't leave any of them alive, not even their cattle, nothing. Because of the evil that they did to Israel when Israel was coming through the wilderness into the promised land. So it's payback time. Saul and his men went out and they killed many of the Amalekites. They left at least one alive, possibly more, a man named Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And they left all the best of the sheep and the cattle and the donkeys and the camels and all the best of their livestock. They kept it for themselves. And so Samuel comes to Saul, and Saul says, I've done everything the Lord has said for me to do. And Samuel says, what's the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle I hear? And Saul's lame excuse was, well, now, well, wait a second. We save these to sacrifice to the Lord your God. We are spiritual, Samuel, much more than even you are, because you wanted us to kill them all. And we saved these things to sacrifice to the Lord your God. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. The sacrifice of the wicked, as we just read there in verse 8 of Proverbs 15, is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. I'm sure that as the last couple of weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, we've been talking about prayer, talking about fasting. Remember, this is the week in which to pick one day to fast. And I'm sure that those who have experienced wonderful things, increasing the prayer time, alone time, finding an alone time. I got an email from somebody in our fellowship that said, I finally picked a place where I can be quiet with the Lord, and what a blessing it is. Like, right on, right on. So the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked, verse 9, is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. No one's going to tell me what to do. Okay, fine, die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? Human courts can only judge actions, but God judges the hearts. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. He thinks he knows it all. Can't reason with a know-it-all, can you? Now, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. You ever run across somebody who's just a continual sorrowful-hearted person? How you doing today, Eeyore? Oh, not good, and it's only 9 a.m. This guy, oh, man. This breaks your spirit to be around someone like that. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. That's what they're hungry for. Fools are hungry for foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast, whether they have a lot or little. A merry heart, in fact, there's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit called the gift of mercy. Someone who has a supernatural gift of the Lord, it was explained to me like this. Someone who casts a sunbeam into a sick room. I like that. People that when you're in their presence, it's like, wow, okay, I feel better. I don't know why, but man, you make life better. Thank you. A merry heart. Better is a... Now, these next few verses are going to talk about how much it's better if you're poor, but yet you love the Lord. That's better than somebody who's rich and doesn't love God at all. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Slow to anger, somebody puts away, puts aside arguments and strife. I love Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. It's honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Anybody, any fool can start a quarrel, but an honorable man is one who can stop striving. Verse 19, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. If you want to know a practical way of understanding this verse, go out into the woods, find out where there's a thicket, where there are a bunch of thorns, and try to make your way through them. No, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. But you understand what he's talking about. The way of the lazy man is like trying to get through a hedge of thorns. It's like the lazy guy is slow. It's painful to, would you please get going, you lazy person? It's painful to watch. But the way of the upright is a highway. The upright person, smooth sailing. Now, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. He's a great fool because he's despising the one who will love him to the bitter end. Many fathers will write off a wayward son, but not mama. Oh, mama will love that son to the very end, but it speaks of the ill character of that son who despises even his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Oh, they get caught up in the thrill of the moment. They love the foolish pursuits. Why? Because they have no discernment. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. Now, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Get a second opinion. Get a third opinion. Ask people for advice. Find godly people, wise people, pick their brains. There's safety there. Your plans will be established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. There are seasons of life, ups and downs. Sometimes we need a word of encouragement, and then when somebody comes along and they're able to share with you a scripture that fits the moment, oh, so good. So good. The way of life winds upward for the wise, headed to heaven because we believe in Jesus, that he may turn away from hell below. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. God cares for the poor, for the orphaned, the widowed, and so should we. It is a godly person who cares for those who truly are in need. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. A guy trying to get rich quick is somebody who troubles a family, no doubt about it. But he who hates bribes will live. A bribery is one way to get wealthy or get some money in a hurry. Be willing to take a bribe for a favor. The Bible has much to say about the evil of bribery. For example, in Exodus 23, verse 8, you shall take no bribe. For a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. You know, lobbyists and special interest groups that roam the halls of the Senate and the Congress, this ought to be a verse that should be plastered up there somewhere. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. I'm learning. that when put in a pressure situation, and I got to choose right now and make a decision and say something, it's best to say, I'll get back to you. Let me get back to you. Yeah, but if you don't do this, oh, you know what? Let me get back to you. Let me get back to you. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. In the Psalms we read, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. I could pray all day long, but I've cut the cord. God, we used to have cords back then with telephones. Have you remember cords with telephones? A few of us do. Okay. I could be talking to somebody, my friend down the street on the phone, but the phone's cord is cut. They're not listening. And that's what sin does. Sin is scissors that cuts the telephone cord of communication with God. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Remember when last Sunday morning we read about the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Here's kind of the same thought there. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Look at good things. Godly things. Keep your eyes and my eyes fixed on Jesus, the author. Don't be looking at all the bad stuff. And there's so much out there that's just bad. So much bad news. It ought not to be called the news anymore. It ought to all be called bad news. You know, I was watching the bad news the other day. Because it is. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. A good report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. So if we're willing to listen to rebuke, then we will abide among the wise. But he who disdains or hates instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. So the wise person will listen to correction regardless of how it's packaged. Sometimes we don't like the way that we are being corrected. Person jumped down my throat. At that point, we might be tempted to disregard them and their words. Hey, man, you didn't tell me that in love, so I don't have to listen to you. The wise person is one who looks beyond the delivery and then examines the contents of the package. They look beyond the delivery, the deliverer, how it was given to them, and they look at the content. The wise person is correctable even when confronted incorrectly. That takes humility. That's something I'm working on. I know all of us as believers in Jesus, we're working on. People might have very important things to tell us, but maybe they say it the wrong way. Okay? I believe the Lord would speak gently to my heart and say, suck it up, buttercup. Listen to what they're saying. Maybe not the way they're saying it, but examine what they're saying. There might be some truth there. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Willing to receive correction, even if it's given to us in a way we don't like it. Humility. So, to sum up, may we fear God and walk humbly. As Peter, in his first epistle, wrote in chapter 5, verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, these so many, many, many wise sayings here that, Lord, it's impossible just through this reading of these things to remember them all. But I pray somehow, some way, maybe later on we'll read this again. But somehow, some way, Lord, you will bring these things to remembrance, especially when we need to walk in them. Lord, thank you for the many promises, but yet also thank you for the many warnings. Reminds me, Lord, of, I believe it was your prophet Micah who said, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Lord, may we do just that. We pray toward that end, to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly. Lord, loving mercy, not just to receive it from you, but also to give it out to others. Love mercy. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night.